This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Please be seated. I take you back to 1 week ago, right about this time. It was the peak of Hurricane Dorian's winds, at least what we know. At 180 miles an hour, we were between the 9:30 and the 11:45 services, and we were wondering whether we were going to proceed with Unplugged or not, because nobody expected it to get that high. 220-mile-per-hour gusts or more. We were just not sure if it would hit us, and many were panicked, especially seeing that radar looming. Even the forecasters were not sure whether it was going to actually turn or not. Spaghetti models all over the map that we had been watching for some time. At about 8 p.m. Sunday night, we still were not sure if this monster of a storm would come ashore or not. And we tried to lighten the intensity with humor. A friend recently showed me a YouTube clip of the map of this part of the United States with somebody taking actual spaghetti and just throwing it down on the map out of frustration and laughter. And then we waited. We waited for that turn. And we waited, and we waited. Sunday night, 1 mile per hour. Monday morning, stationary. Monday night, same. Tuesday morning, same. And the intensity increased. We were waiting for Dorian to make that turn. And again, we relied on humor. My family and friends are sick of this joke, but I'm banking that some of you haven't heard it. So here it is. So this is South Florida. Just because he has his right turn signal on doesn't mean he's turning. You've heard it, right? Okay. Sorry. And then we returned to the gravity of the situation. Not only did we comfort ourselves with humor, we comforted ourselves by gravitating toward our loved ones and toward our friends. I received phone calls from my son up in Jacksonville, and then I called him back. I talked to my son here and called him back. My cousin, who I haven't seen in decades, called me from Utah. She's a professional skydiver, believe it or not. And she called me in between jumps from the plane in Idaho because she was so worried. We gravitate toward those we love to say, I love you, and to shelter. And all the while, as we watched from our air-conditioned homes with very little wind and plenty of electricity, we knew that this catastrophic hurricane was over the Bahamas. And just then, this was happening offshore.
All right, we gotta move, guys. We have to jump the fence, okay? We gotta jump.
I'm on top of the sink right now.
The water hitting my front room window, which is extremely high, and this is the water by my back door and glass. So this is what I'm facing at the moment.
Hey.
Minnesota.
Nice. We don't mind the property. We just want to hope that lives will be saved. But as you can tell, we are going to need a lot of support after this hurricane is over.
We have been through something majorly significant, my sisters and brothers, not only because we nearly missed that devastation, but more importantly, because of what our near neighbors on Grand Bahama and the Abacos suffered, are suffering, and will continue to suffer for some time. So now, with all of this intensity in mind, consider the intensity of today's gospel. It's a tough one. Jesus Christ has an urgent life or death message for all who choose to follow him. He's trying to convey to them, it's fish or cut bait time. He says to them, because there were large crowds following him everywhere, so he says to them, not knowing who really was serious and who really wasn't, he gives them three things that they must do in order to know that they are following him, that they really are his disciples. First of all, they have to hate everybody that they're closest to. Secondly, they've got to be willing to carry their cross and follow him. And thirdly, he's telling them to give up all their possessions. Right. Really a tough gospel. And before we proceed with looking at each one briefly, I'd like to tell you about a certain word that you see in our translation, and the word is cannot be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. It's better translated as are not able to be. The experts that do these translations, and I researched a couple of them, say that translation is better to say, are not able to be my disciples. It's not that Jesus is going to say, I forbid you from being my disciple if you don't do this. It's not about that. It's about whether we are making the choice to follow him or not. So, first one. If you aren't able to hate even those closest to you, you aren't able to be my disciple. Now, this word hate, I remember as a little girl, we used to get in trouble if we said the word hate. My mom said there was too much hate in the world, and she didn't want it spoken in our house. She said, you can say you intensely dislike something or you don't care for something, but I don't want to hear you say hate. And do you know, I did the same thing with my kids, and now I'm doing it with my grandkids. So why would Jesus, this God of love, used such a word? Well, Jesus Christ, this God of love, was a Middle Easterner. And he used hyperbole, hype, frequently to get people's attention. It's just like when he said, if your left arm offends you, or maybe it was your right arm, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. He doesn't mean seriously. Nor does he mean that we seriously are to hate our loved ones. No. He's saying, comes a time where you have to stand up whether your loved ones agree with you or not. Comes a time you've got to stand up for truth. And if you're following me, it's going to get tough sometimes. Take what we heard in Paul's letter to Philemon. Philemon was his good friend who had this slave named Onesimus, and Paul was in jail. So Onesimus came to the jail, probably sent by Philemon to help Paul. I guess they let him in jail at that time. Well, he became really good friends with Paul, so much that he was calling him his beloved brother. And now he's writing this letter back to his friend to say, receive him as a beloved brother, not as a slave. Can you imagine back then the contempt and, yes, the hatred that he would have had from his family members and from his society at that time? He was standing up against him being looked upon as a slave. That's an example, a great example. Take the next one. The carry your cross one. And notice it's carry your cross and follow me. You won't able to be my disciple if you're not doing that. So if you take a look at that, First of all, know that if you're carrying a burden, no matter what you bring here this morning that is on your heart, that you are troubled with, that you are burdened with, know that. And carrying that cross, it doesn't mean you have to do it alone. It doesn't mean you have to do it alone. If you are asking for help in carrying those burdens and in carrying your cross, that too is carrying the cross and following in the way of Christ. Christ means for us to be together in the ups and the downs of our life. So know that. We are then encouraged that whatever the pressure we're under, whatever the challenge, we can keep our center. We can keep looking to Christ as a way shower. Just like Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, he kept his center focused by looking out and saying, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." Can you imagine? He's our way shower in the face of suffering. And we are called to suffer when we do with patience, with steadfast faith, courage, honesty to acknowledge our hurt and get help if we need it, and freedom from bitterness. Freedom from bitterness. It's not that we're supposed to be walking around as martyrs saying, "Okay, I'll carry my cross." No. Imagine this cross to bear. My brother-in-law's brother, and Ruth Mayhew's husband's cousin, by the way, lives in Freeport. They're the same person. He had lost his home many, many years ago. He's lived there his whole life. He lost his home many, many years ago in a hurricane, and this time when he chose to rebuild, he did it up on a 20-foot embankment, and he, rather than doing CBS concrete block walls, he did poured concrete. He was 20 feet up. He finally got through to his brother yesterday, and that the reception was very sketchy, obviously no electricity. He said that the house made it, but that the waves were coming up to his carport, I mean, to his garage. They were that high, 20 feet up, 20 feet up. Furthermore, he said that you couldn't go outside, even though the water has receded. You couldn't go outside, he said, because the stealing and the looting is off the charts, that the anarchy going on is so dangerous that nobody dares go outside. He and his son are sheltering together, and they have enough food to last for a few days, but they're not quite sure what's going to happen after that. He said, "You don't dare go to the one store that is there with limited, they have very few goods," but he said he had gotten reports that people were just, you know, it was just a mob scene, and people were fighting over every last little morsel, as you can imagine. And so the only way for he and his son to proceed is with faith, is with faith. We saw the same thing in the reports that we heard on our mission trips down to the Keys after Hurricane Irma. We heard the same kind of reports from people in Panama City when we were up there last March. This resilience to hold your faith in carrying your cross without bitterness, and yes, through tears, and yes, through the agony, but knowing that Christ is with you and not alone, and that this wasn't done to you. Thirdly, we are to give up our possessions. Now, obviously, possessions can mean way more than just material goods. It's our attachment to anything. So we can learn from our Buddhist friends in this regard. You've heard about the Buddhist vacuum cleaner, right? Comes with no attachments. I like that one too. We lighten the gravity of what Jesus is saying. And here he wants us to detach from anything that is going to drag us down, anything that is going to give us that focus more than following him. And if that's our possessions, then yeah, we need to have less. We need to give those up as well. Attachments of attitudes, attachments of habits, perspectives, prejudice, success, petty jealousies, perfectionism. As we hear so very often in the Gospels, we have to give it all away to have it all. We came face to face with life and death this past week. We're walking now with those who are still facing life and death as that death toll continues to rise and rise. And for those of us who had to evacuate, we left our homes not knowing if we ever would see them again. In today's gospel, in all the readings, we're called to cling to life. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, and that life is in following Christ's way of love. Hiram Lewis, the Bahamian member of parliament that you saw in the video, was very wise in this regard. We don't mind the properties. We just hope that lives will be saved. And so we choose to be true to ourselves, to carry our cares without bitterness and follow the way of love, and finally, to realize, even though it's tough, that T.S. Eliot was right when he said, "Union with God is a case of utter simplicity, costing nothing less than everything." Amen.